So I just want to say, man, the big thing, I think still, the church does need to be pointed to this. I appreciate the questions because I'm learning myself. He's reemphasizing for me. Draw close to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And apart from me, you should do nothing. Now, what that looks like, how that works out, I don't know. It might be so different for each of us. So this is why I say, I just want to give you a basic response. But basically, still, just go to Jesus Christ every day, and as often as you can in a day. I go to his Father. He takes you to the Father. He points you to him. Go to the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then as he gives you grace, and as often as you can think it out, live it out, then do whatever you do in the Spirit through Jesus to the glory of the Father.
Amen.
That's it. And that means whether you live or die, or suffer a long time in between. But here, where are we at? Let's see. We got 5 minutes. This all right. We got. Look, this is okay. We'll go you to last. In the back of the corner, far left.
Still morning. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
I think we're all can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're all aware of how things have changed in the last few years. It just seems like, you know, we're more angry and as one author recently, he wrote a book. I have a book here. He wrote a book called Addicted to Outrage.
Yeah.
And how we're like many of us in America are like drug addicts. We have to be outraged, you know, every day, even about something that's not important. It's like we have to have that outrage. The author wrote that people who are on social media a lot are most susceptible to this, like Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And like you're indicating, like, you know, you don't want to spend too much time on CNN or Fox News. It can't drive you crazy. But anyway, I personally really do believe that fairly soon that we're going to be involved in a civil war in this country. And I believe people are going to be killed. And I just wonder, you know, people are, I think more and more are like addicted to outrage in the last few years. And I just want to encourage everybody, we're Christians, to love and forgive your enemies. I mean, that's, you know, whether you lean toward the left, lean toward the right, whether you're, you know, in this tribe or this group or that group, love and forgive your enemies. I just read a book called Outrageous Forgiveness. God's Call to Unconditional Love by a pastor named Brian Zond, who's a Trinitarian pastor, has a church in Missouri. It was a really good book. So I just wanted to encourage us all, no matter what happens, if we're in a civil war, love and forgive your enemies. And I think also, tell the truth, speak the truth. I think you can call somebody on what, you know, what they're doing. Do it in a loving but strong way, like Jesus in Matthew 23. I mean, he told the Jewish religious leaders what they really were. He called them a brood of vipers, snakes. That's what he called them. But he loved them. And in just a few hours, he was going to be dying on the cross for them. I mean, he was angry, and he didn't pull back. But he was like a mother hen. He loved those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes like a mother hen with little chicks. And but he spoke the truth to them. And Stephen, before he died in Acts 7, I mean, at the end of his sermon, boy, he let the Jewish leaders have it. He let them have it. He told, you know, so he told them the truth. They were evil. But before he died, I mean, Jesus didn't let them fall asleep, so to speak, until he said, Father, don't hold this sin against them. He had the same attitude Jesus had, but he told them the truth. So I don't think we should be afraid to tell people who are our enemies and adversaries the truth about themselves. They're wrong. They're doing evil. But you got to do it in love, not in self-righteousness and stuff. You know, you got to be do it in love, like Stephen and like Jesus. We just have to follow Jesus. I mean, that's the thing.
Right. I mean, I agree. That's the main point. Is this still on?
Yeah. We just need to follow Jesus. Be willing to die if necessary. I mean, look, we have different opinions. Some of us, you know, many of us are tend to be political, left, right. But we know Jesus. Jesus is number one. And, you know, and we just have to follow him and know that he's in control. He'll put give us the love and the strength. We won't have to be afraid. Like, well, frankly, I listen a lot to my name, Glenn Beck, and sometimes he talks about prepare physically with food, water. You know, things are going to get, you know, probably get bad. But when he says that, I think to myself, stay close to Jesus. I mean, yes, it's good to have extra food, extra water, whatever. But you got to be close to Jesus and just love him, love everyone, and be strong in him. Don't be afraid. I tend to be a fearful person, but you know, Jesus is a rock, and you know we can do what Stephen did. I mean, we can stand up even though we die. So you know, we don't have to be. These are scary times I think we're heading into, but Jesus is God. He's in control of the universe, and we just have to keep our eyes on him, and we don't have to be afraid of anyone or anything. Whether human or demonic.
All right, so I definitely agree with you, especially your last part wraps it up. We can trust Jesus, and we ought to be in relationship with him and follow him. All right, I promised the question back here.
Two quick questions.
I mean, yeah.
Question number one. Forgiveness, does that equate to also restore something? Number two, what does it really mean, do not grow weary in well-doing? Especially when you live in this society where people have an idea of entitlement.
Okay, so I may come back to ask you about that second question again. Let's start with the first, which was about forgiveness. And what I think I heard you asking, does it always end up in reconciliation? Is that right? So the answer to that question is clear in Christ. True forgiveness always ends up in reconciliation. So they're like, forgiveness and reconciliation are like two sides of the same coin. God forgives you so that the relationship can be restored. And in the scriptures, he's forgiven us in Christ, and the relationship with God and man is restored. So there's no barriers. We can come to him freely before the throne of grace. Even literally at the time of Jesus' death, the forgiveness of God on mankind was so real that the temple curtain was ripped, signifying that there is no more barrier or division. Of course, Ephesians is clear about this. Let me turn to that scripture real quick. Ephesians. Hang on. Okay.
Was your question restitution or reconciliation?
Reconciliation, but this is the question. I understand between God and man.
Yeah.
Explain it between each other.
So it's what I'm doing. I am explaining between each other because Jesus is not only man in relationship with God, he's perfect man in relationship with men and women. So he's not only representing God to us, he's representing man. To us. He's the only true man among men. So what he's done, see, but this is where we hold, man, all right, so this is where you hold to the fact that in one person, Jesus is God and man. He's not two people like man and then God. He's the one person of the Son that is also inside human nature. At the same time, he remains the Son. So that whatever he does in his humanity is still the Son of God performing it for God and for man. So because it's one and the same person doing the act of forgiveness and reconciliation occurs there, then reconciliation always occurs in Jesus Christ on behalf of reconciliation with God and reconciliation with man. There's no such thing with God on the side of God or man as forgiveness without reconciliation. Now, whether people will receive that truth, that fact or not, that's the only thing that remains to be seen. But for God, to make this maybe even more plain as I can put it right now, forgiveness is not just a word of forgiveness. All right, I forgive you because we've done this. I forgive you, but I certainly don't forget. And you're never going to see me again. That's not forgiveness in God's eye. Look, that's me. No, that's the saxophonist that couldn't make it here. I wonder why he's calling. I hope his brother-in-law is all right. Huh?
He's on his way.
Woo! Thank you, Father. Appreciate that. All right. Okay. Now, where was I? No, I see. I know, forgiveness. So I was trying to say, yeah, we can have just a word of forgiveness in our human way of thinking, and that's not real forgiveness biblically or as it is in Christ. Remember, he's the true man for all of us. Forgiveness for him means reconciliation with the other. Forgiveness is for the sake of actually being in the relationship. There was some kind of barrier up. Forgiveness removes the barrier so that the relation can now take place again. So the Christian view of forgiveness is that right now, look, on this side of glory, which is where we all live right now, this is not always possible for us as fallen saints to live in reconciliation, let alone fully, with those who have sinned against us. We're not Jesus Christ. We only have a earnest of the Spirit. We don't always follow. We disobey. Unfortunately, it doesn't make sense, but we do. So we are not to look for the fullness of all things on this side of Jesus' return. I think this may be a big word to say. This just ties into so much, so I thank you for asking it. We're getting so angry about politics and politicians and why things aren't right. And maybe we'll get the next one and they'll be better. Well, they may be better, but they still ain't gonna be right. I mean, are you reading your Bibles? The only time things are gonna be right is when the only person God wanted to be in charge is in charge. He always told us from the very beginning, don't seek no human king, whether male or female, you don't need any. I'm good enough. I can lead and guide all of them. But we rebel. We keep begging for a king. All right, I'm going to give you what you want. If you don't want what I want, then I'll give you what you want. And you can just learn that way. You can learn that's not what you want. So I love the question here because we right now almost the church almost needs a word, that word right there of discouragement. We almost need a word of discouragement. To be discouraged about trusting in the things of this world to be set right apart from Christ. No. Things will only be set right when Jesus returns, and up until then, things are only going to be partial, temporary, provisional, if that.
Amen.
Live, you're going to have to live from this point on. You shouldn't expect very much to transform or change in your eyes at all. Hey, I think we need to be sobered by that right now. So that will, what will that do? If you're a Christian, what that should do is, oh, I'm praying to Jesus, that I need more hope than that. Oh, good. If you need hope, if you need a little bit of faith and some real love, then that's right. You're going to be pressed to do what you should have done in the first place. Go to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and let Him pour out upon you by His Spirit hope that He's going to return someday again. This is why, even though we were too far this way in the past, looking for the wonderful world tomorrow, but some of y'all completely left that behind. You want it all in the wonderful bad world of today. The present evil age, as God calls it. Now, how are you going to be in the present evil age, the time between the times, the time between Jesus' death and resurrection and the time of His return? How are you going to live in between here and expect this when this hadn't even happened yet? It hasn't come yet. That's an illusion. So right now, we kind of in the church need to be disillusioned. And I would dare say, that's really what's going on with us right now. Why have you been so sad or sadder than ever the past 10, 15 years? You're being disillusioned. Because the biggest thing is to fall into deception. We need to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and bring into captivity everything unto the knowledge of Christ. I know I messed that up a little bit, but y'all know the point. Were you going to say something else?
Yes, on the forgiveness, I ran into a guy, and this just reinforces what you said about the Bible doesn't give every answer. It points us to the answer, Jesus Christ. Because I ran into a guy who knew what the scripture said about forgiveness. But because of the things that had happened to him were so deep, and you know, through the process, he felt like the person that he wasn't able to forgive had caused him to lose his mother because she wouldn't give the medical care to the mother that she needed, wouldn't allow the physicians to do the surgery that the mother needed, so the mother died, wouldn't help him when he was homeless, caused him to lose his job for some different things. It was a whole lot, and I ain't trying to go long with it. But he didn't know how to forgive this person. So he came to me and said, look, I already know what the scripture said. I know, ultimately, I got to forgive her. He said, but how do I forgive her? Right. And so, right. And
yeah.
So I couldn't just say, well, let me find the scripture that said, all I can say to him is, look, man, that's something that you're going to have to hand over to Jesus and pray to him and just allow him to every day to minister to you to you're able to be able to forgive that person. It ain't no words. It ain't no formula that you're going to be able to follow. You're just going to have to say, Jesus, I can't hold this burden. This is a burden too heavy for me. I need to give this to you. And I say, he'll teach you how to be able to hand that forgiveness over. And he'll teach you how to be able to forgive. I said, it may take way longer than what somebody else may tell you. I said, it may take the rest of your life here on earth trying to forgive that person. But ultimately, you have to look to him that he is the light and he is your salvation and that in him it has taken place.
Yes. I want to just say amen. Along with this fact that we need to be disillusioned. I think we need to, Gary said this, we need to be honest with, but I think the primary person we need to be honest with is God and about who we really are. I want to encourage you all. I've been doing this more and more. Father has been leading me this way, but I'm finding freedom and liberation in it. When you have a law orientation and you're used to living up to a standard, and then you go to church and we all put on these fancy clothes and nice perfume, so we really look like we're following all the stuff that we're reading, and we're actually not. But we got to act like it. After all these years of faking it, I can't now just be totally real and embarrassed. You know, they might not accept me. This is all going on as a psychological way as we come to church. But we need to be honest with the Lord. See, you're not asked in the first instance. In the first instance, everything about the gospel is passive. You're going to have to come to the realization you cannot forgive anyone. You don't have it in you. Jesus is the only one who has forgiven, and in the future, the only one who will. But he'll get you to participate in his forgiveness. So we've got to start coming up empty and then admitting this emptiness before God. You don't have to go back. If we talk about some things about prayer, you probably recognize, oh boy, I do need to pray to you a lot more, Father, than I'm currently doing, or even just a little more, you know, 2 minutes instead of 1 minute a day, you know. All right. Okay. So you might be driven to do that, but I'm here to tell you, you're not going to be able to do that just because you're fired up in a moment like this around a crowd and determined to do it. It's going to take the grace of God for you to pray even 30 more seconds longer in a real relationship with the Father. You don't have it in you. And I'm not exhorting you to leave here and make something God happen. You're just going to have to, I'm exhorting you to, in the faith God gives you, which is all counted as a mustard seed, that's sufficient faith. You're just going to have to go forth in faith and live this life and trust God to do it. I'll conclude on this story I have here about forgiveness, because this happened to me, and this is a surprising thing I've been finding happen in my life. And as I talk with others, this is really kind of how it works. God ends up getting us into the place we want to get without us really realizing. One time I was at work as a human resource director, and an old friend, an old high school buddy, been 20 years since I've been graduated, and he came to the office and visited me, and oh man, I was so glad to see Rodney was his name, man, because he lived around the corner from me, so we were buddies growing up. His dad or uncle used to cut my hair. So, I mean, it was the affection of 20 years is right there again. Hey, love you too, man. We had a great old time until he ripped me off about $50. I forget exactly how he did it right now. He was really slick. But he got... he got $50 from me. So he was gone, and I realized, man, I got home with Donna, and we was talking to her. We realized how he got us, you know. So we thought he got us, and then he called and acted like because he was supposed to bring us, I think, an amount of money back. He was supposed to bring it back or something like that. Forget all the circumstances of how he did it, but he came to our house that evening and wrote us out a check, and the slickness with which he did it enabled him to get even $50 more. So we lost twice as much money trying to help him, and it seemed legit that he was, you know, because the check bounced or it didn't work. Oh my goodness! It was now I'm hot, man. I am, man. I'm gonna hurt this brother. Yeah. 20 years just went down the drain. So I called up my brother Eric, and I said, Eric, man, Rodney, he knew him too, because he said, man, I'm gonna go find this guy. And he just ripped my family off. My girls were like very young, so they had infant children. I was just mad. I'm getting this back, you know. So I went and found where he lived, actually. Me and my brother, I went up to the door, and I banged him, and I said, you know, hopefully you don't see this by chimney like this. But I did have a dad who was a professional boxer, and some of that comes out sometimes. And so I'm beating on the door, and the lady said, what? I said, tell Rodney to get out here right now. And she said, Rodney isn't here right now. I said, you tell him he better come on out. You know, I think he might have had a bat or something. I was ready to do business now. She never would open up the door. Thankfully, she didn't call the police. And we got wisened up. We said, they're not going to let us in. I know he's in there. So we left. We left and went on back to our house. So then me and my family had to process this. Look, this guy just ripped us off. We're all angry and stuff, but we're Christians. And as me and Donna are talking and so forth, the Spirit begins to help us. And we said, well, you know what we need to do? We really need to pray for this. And what drove Rodney to be so desperate that he would come to meet me, my good friend, after all these years and rip me off of money? He must be really desperate. And we just begin to think a little bit more broadly about what would have caused this kind of thing to even happen in the first place. So we said, we need to pray for him. And we really need to forgive him. Were we feeling forgiveness? Now see, this is another fine thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't feeling forgiveness. Jesus didn't feel forgiveness as he's being crucified on the cross. He didn't feel forgiven as everybody that he created denied him and wanted to put him to death. You don't feel forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of love. It's just an act of the Father, Son, and Spirit, despite how you feel. Well, we prayed. I remember distinctly praying, oh Lord, forgive Rodney. Me and Donna gathered in prayer there, so forth. Okay, so a few weeks go by, maybe a couple weeks go by, and I'm driving down the street towards work, and it looks like I see Rodney down there. He looks just exactly like him on the right side of the road. And look, I tell you the truth, the incident of him, what he did to me and my family, didn't even come to mind. I pulled over to the side of the road, rolled down the window, said, hey, Rodney! I mean, just freely, like that was my friend that I had just seen 20 years ago. And it wasn't Rodney. But God used that as a best thing in my life. Son, I can place forgiveness in you. He taught me that. I can give it to you. I don't even know how that happened. I don't even know how a few weeks later I could look at this person with joy and have no thought. I had no instant of thought about what he did ripping my family off after ready to beat him up with a bat 3 weeks earlier. So I've learned from that circumstance and others that, man, the way God gets his life into you really is not perceptible or something you can perceive or figure out. But boy, he's good at it. And if you'll just trust him, he'll get it into you. He'll get his life into you. Because it's all of grace, not by works, lest any man or woman should boast. Well, I think we've had a good time together. You've been helped a little bit. I appreciate your attendance here. I'm grateful to be your brother in Christ. So let's, who would like to leave us out with a prayer? Somebody else pray. Calvin, you want to pray? Oh, yeah, hey, you know. No, that's it. Yeah, that's okay.
We are nothing without our loving Savior Jesus living in us. We cannot do anything without you, Lord.
Nothing.
And we just want to thank you so much, Lord, that you have come to live
thank
in us.
Thank you for coming to us.
And we want so much to bring glory and honor we and praise to you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just want people to know what a loving God you are.
We want them to know you.
And Father, we just pray, we ask you, Lord, we just surrender our lives
surrender
to you completely. We want to fall more and more in love with you.
We do.
So that we can fall more and more in love with others.
Yes.
Father, there is no other way.
There is
Jesus
no other.
You is the only way to salvation.
Thank you.
And we thank you so much. We do not have to worry.
Thank
we
you.
We can look to you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We can have that faith to trust you
yes,
in every situation in our lives,
yes,
Lord.
We can.
And Father, no matter what happens in this world, Lord, mm-hmm. we know that we can trust you. And just as just as Peter, when he stepped out of that boat on the water,
mm-hmm.
when he did not look to you, Jesus,
yeah.
his faith faltered.
Yes,
but Jesus would never hold that against us.
Thank
he
you.
Just wants us to get up again and look at him.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, no matter what happens, we can truly love one another. And Father, we know that you have said that it starts in the body of Christ,
yes.
that we need to love each other. We know what the scriptures say. We know that Satan would want to have us not have that kind of love that
yes,
you
Lord.
And our loving Father in heaven have with each other. So just help us to look to you, to look for strength, to have courage.
Yes.
And Lord, thank you, Father, for
thank
that
you,
wonderful
Father.
Gift of prayer.
Thank you for
that
prayer.
We can come boldly before your throne.
Yes, Lord.
That we can have that deep,
mm-hmm.
loving,
deep love
close relationship with you.
You.
And someday we know it will be in its fullness when Jesus
yes, Lord. We thank you.
But help us right now, Lord, while we're living in this challenging world.
Yes, Lord.
To face those challenges that you have before us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can overcome all things.
Yes,
thank you for this conference.
Thank you for, this
thank you for every man and woman that has
woman.
Sacrificed their time to
yes.
to have us
man.
Learn more about you, Father, and to love each other. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. Amen.